wonder if I could just make a connection between this morning, like you were saying, David, and this. The Lord Jesus, you know, he mentioned he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I believe that is the full extreme position of any of mankind to endure. You're at the very end of any natural resources at that point. And some, even before that time, began to have breakdown in their natural functions. So I'm just thinking, the Lord Jesus was, according to the will of God, put into circumstances whereby he was made absolutely weak. I mean, most of us, if it was 40 days and 40 nights, naturally speaking, many would be dead. Some would have started to have brain dysfunction and not think at all clearly about what decisions to make. The Lord was in a position of extreme weakness, and yet depended upon his God. Dependent upon his God and Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he could speak in total dependence upon God and not deviate from the path of faithfulness. And so the Lord was put into the most extreme position of weakness. And I believe it says in 2 Corinthians 13, he was crucified through weakness. And isn't it wonderful that he was in a position of extreme weakness, so that now on the other side of death and glory, he can administer his power, his grace and his mercy to sustain us who pass through extreme weakness at times ourselves. And the weakness, wouldn't the weakness be an avenue by which we could sin? Doesn't mean we will, but it's an avenue by which we could sin. And yet he gives us, he who knows what it's like to be weak, he's now able to give us the strength and power that we need to endure. I think James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And so there's a blessing from God for those who can rely on Christ for the needs to pass through this experience.
I wonder if I could suggest another connecting thought with this passage, tying in with Brother John's comments here. Just before the Lord is presented in chapter 2 as the faithful and merciful high priest, we've had, and touched upon it earlier, that he came himself, took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So, okay, now turn to Revelation chapter 12. And here we know that his power is annulled, but not his subtlety nor his present activity in the presence of God. In verse 10 of that chapter, we see, well, now I heard the loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Let's remember, while we have a high priest, we also, there's the accuser of our brethren. There's accuser there. Day and night, he's accusing us. And you know, what does he accuse us of? Failure. And he's probably right in most of the accusations. Right? All of them, probably. Right. And he probably maybe doesn't know them all, even. That's right. How did they overcome? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, I'm only suggesting a thought that just came to me here in connection with the fact that he is a one who's made propitiation for our sins. So even in the present intercession, and when Satan's accusations come before God, there we have our great high priest. And Satan, as we said, he's probably right in all of the accusation that he makes. But how do we overcome him? What can we control? What is there? Ah, the Lord has overcome him. And he is there. We've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord is there in the presence of God where the accuser is. And he shows God, as it were, well, for those sins I've died. My blood has been shed. And now I'm supporting those in their weakness here. But the sins, that's all taken care of. And in that way, he succors those. He supports us.
He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Now, what is the salvation that we're talking about? Our redemption, you said it, Emil, it's taken care of really the basis is chapter 1, isn't it? That he by himself purged our sins. It is on the basis of that finished work that his priesthood then has effect. What is an infirmity? What are the infirmities that we're talking about? The difficulties that we feel as we're going home to glory. Don't tell me we don't feel them. We all do. The things that are in the way that hinder us from making progress for him here. He's a great high priest for those things. I felt it should have been said a while ago, so I'm going to say it now. When John spoke about the fact that it was sin apart, I want you just to look at that verse 14 a minute. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. What does that mean? Full partaking. All that Adam was passed on to you and I, didn't it? But what about the second part? He also himself likewise, it's not the same word. It is a limited partaking. The Lord Jesus was fully and wholly a man. Sin apart. I have to get hold of that, don't I? And sin apart, then I come then to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. But not only that, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But I don't stop there. I read on, he took not on him the nature of angels. And I think, if I'm wrong, you all help me. I think Scripture so carefully guards his person. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Not referring to Adam and his race. The seed of him who is the father of the faithful. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him not to be made like unto man. Doesn't say that. His brethren. What a blessed place that we are. But as his brethren, what do we need? We need a high priest who's going to carry us all the way home to glory.